This is a pre-Shabbos inspiration and meditation. Today is Friday, the 31st of January, and it's the second day of the month of Shvat. So we do a bit of a wrap-up for the week and share some words of inspiration, getting ourselves in the zone of Shabbat. So this week, again, there was some anti-Semitic incidents in Sydney, again, sort of instilling a bit of fear and the feeling of being a bit unsettled among the Jewish community here. However, we never give up, we keep going. Yesterday was the first day of Shvat, the month of Shvat, known as Rosh Chodesh. That was Rosh Chodesh Shvat yesterday. And the month Shvat, I once saw in a book, has a beautiful acronym. The word Shvat is Shenishma Psurot Tovot. We should hear good news. So that's the energy of coming into the month of Shvat. We should hear only good news, and we believe and we are confident that there will be good news. On a natural level, there's a good response from law enforcement here now. And of course, spiritually speaking, we continue to be proud Jews. We continue to be connected to Hashem. And the main thing is we try not to have fear. Fear is debilitating. Fear is what our enemies want. Fear is paralyzing, and we need to overcome that and have faith and emunah bitachon, and move forward as proud Jews. Do whatever we need to do in the responsible way, but have that emunah that it's going to be okay and we're going to be fine. Of course, that's connected to something at the beginning of this week's weekly Torah portion, which is Parashat Bo, where God is in home stretch, so to speak, of the plagues, and very soon is going to redeem the Jewish people from Egypt, as happens later on in the parsha. But in the beginning, Paro is getting extremely, extremely agitated, extremely upset with the Jewish people. Paro's government and cabinet is getting upset with him. Why he's not acquiescing to the demands of the Jewish people? Because the infrastructure of Egypt is being dismantled, and it's all very sort of shaky. And God says to Moses, Bo el Paro, come to Paro, come to Paro. And he tells him what to tell him, and Moshe goes and he warns him about the third to last plague, the plague of locusts, and so on. And the commentaries ask the question, why Bo el Paro? Why come to Paro? The grammar is somewhat, or the usage of words is somewhat puzzling. It would be normal to say, God to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech el Paro, go to Paro. Go to Paro and give him the following message, or give him a message, whatever the case is. It doesn't say, it says, Bo el Paro, come to Paro. And of course, the commentaries answer, at this stage, Paro was becoming very scary. It was very overwhelming. And Moses kept on having to go back to the lion's den, so to speak. And Paro, in his extreme state of agitation and anger, could have really just harmed Moshe Rabbeinu. And God says to him, don't be afraid. Bo el Paro, not go to Paro, come to Paro. I'm with you. I'm with you every part of the way. I'm accompanying you. I'm with you. I'm embracing you. And I think it's an eternal message. We enter into times of challenge. We have challenge, whether it's communal or personal. We don't know why challenges happen. We don't know the meaning of them, but we do know that God is with us. Bo el Paro. God says, come with me. You can do this. You can confront this. You can navigate it, and you can become stronger people through it. And that's the concept of God saying to us, Bo el Paro, come to Paro. Before I share with you another interesting insight, I just want to share with you something that I've been reading lately. I've been reading a book called The Collapse of Parenting. Very interesting book. It's written by a fellow called Dr. Leonard Sachs, who has a PhD in psychology and also is a GP in the States, or around the world. Actually, he lectured in Australia also, on a sort of family doctor, but has seen thousands and thousands and thousands of interactions between and scenarios between parents and between parents and children and so on. And he really touches on some very, very important concepts. He touches on the idea of, give me one second here, sorry. He touches on the importance of the the values that parents used to have that were more traditional, and how that's so changed and been corrupted and been destroyed, where sort of parents want to be friends with their children and be over gentle with them and sort of never be able to say no and so on. It's a very interesting and easy read. I think it's very important, and it's certainly in line with Jewish thinking. And really, really valuable. So I just recommend it. It's called The Collapse of Parenting by Dr. Leonard Sachs. Now, I want to share with you a very interesting concept and insight I find very inspiring and very empowering coming from this week's Torah portion. This week's Torah portion, we have the last three plagues. There were 10 plagues. In fact, a little interesting thing, just to digress for a moment, is that the name of the parsha this week is Bo, Beit Aleph. And in Hebrew, everything has a gematria, a numerical value, and the numerical value of the parsha is three, because there were three plagues to go before God redeemed the Jewish people. But the third to last plague was the plague of locusts, which was very damaging to the agriculture infrastructure of the Egyptians. And then the second to last one was darkness. And then the final one, of course, was the killing of the firstborns, and that was the final blow, and Pharaoh let the Jewish people go. But the darkness one is interesting. When Moses warns Pharaoh that the plague of darkness was going to come, he divides the plague of darkness. Each plague was roughly a week. And he says the following. He says, for 3 days it'll become dark, and no one will be able to see the other. It'll be so dark, and no one will be able to see the other. But then he explains the darkness is going to thicken and it's going to become worse. And in the next 3 days, it will be so bad that the darkness will be able will actually become sort of a tangible thickness that not only won't people be able to see or see each other, they will be completely stuck in whatever position they were in. It was so thick around them that they weren't able to move. It says, "Lo kamu ish mitachtav." No one was able to get up from their place. No one was able to move around. Became completely stuck. And the commentaries ask the question that every other plague was just whatever it was. If it was lice, it was lice for a week. If it was blood, it was blood for a week. If it was boils, it was boils for a week. It's only when it comes to the plague of darkness, where the plague gets divided into two, that the first 3 days is just dark, so you can't see other people, you can't see each other. And then it becomes thicker the next 3 days that you can't move. Why wasn't it the same the entire week? And there was a great Hasidic rabbi called the Chiddushei Harim. And he was the first leader of the sect of Hasidim called the Gura Hasidim in Poland. And he says something phenomenal. He says, no, this plague is a message for all of us on a spiritual level, not just on a physical level. He says, what happens is often, Lo ra'u ish et achiv. People do not see each other. They don't notice each other. They don't learn from each other. They don't embrace each other. They don't care for each other. They don't have empathy for each other. That we wrapped sort of in ourselves and we don't see the other. The world is so built on the ability to see the other. Connections, relationships are the basis, the critical foundation of the human experience. And he says, what people need to understand is that when we put ourselves in a situation that our ego is such that we just are wrapped around our own agenda, we don't see each other. That's part one. What that leads to is that we can't grow ourselves either. We become completely stuck, not only in the sense that we can't see other people, but we can't even see our own progress. We become stuck in our paradigm. We become stuck in where we are. That he says we don't have the ability anymore to grow. We can't improve. We can't change our thinking. We can't look at things differently. Why? Because we can't see other people. If you can't see someone else, ultimately you can't move yourself. So therefore, the first 3 days is this plague, and it's a plague. It's a spiritual, psychological, emotional plague. The first plague is that you can't. The first part of the plague is that you stop seeing other people. Stop noticing and being empathetic to other people. What that results in, you become so stuck in yourself that you can't move yourself either. You can't see your own progress and your own improvements. Because relationships give us the ability to grow ourselves. This is what often is so missed and people don't understand. When we see the other, when we entertain the other's perspective, we expand ourselves, we learn from each other, and that becomes the tool and the basis to improve ourselves. So relationship is about giving, it's about seeing the other, but actually the truth is that we gain. I mean, this is true on all levels. Even the Talmud says, when someone teaches, there was a great sage who said, I've learned a lot from my teachers, I learned a lot from my friends, but the most I learned from my students. Because students are people you teach, but the students are people you have to really see, you have to be able to care for, you have to be able to understand their needs. And when you care for them, you grow yourself, you learn more yourself. That's true with marriage, it's true with all relationships, it's true with everything. When we see each other, we're able to grow ourselves. It's giving and it's respecting and it's giving of ourselves and sometimes putting ourselves to a side. But we really have to understand that we actually gain the most because then we grow ourselves, we become stronger ourselves, and we expand our own paradigm to such a degree that we're able to embrace and entertain things that we weren't able to entertain before. And that's how we really, really grow. And coming into Shabbat, really, it's a good time to think about that. Shabbat is a time of connection. Shabbat is a time where we sit down with other people. It's with a Shabbat meal, hopefully. And sitting down with other people doesn't only mean sitting in the same physical space, but it really needs to mean to see the other, to understand the other, to inquire and to care for the other. Shabbat is also a time, as we said last week, the time of being rather than doing. Doing is something we do for ourselves, but being is means we sort of reflect a little bit. And therefore, just to give a bit of thought to that, as we come into Shabbat, a time hopefully of calmness, a time of menucha, a time of reflection, a time where we just stop a little bit, disconnect from the world, and perhaps just think about it. Think about how's my week been? How did I notice? Did I notice other people, or I just wrapped up in my own agenda, my own treadmill of achievements and accomplishments? Can I see the other? Do I talk to the other? Do I connect to the other? Connection, of course, in a deep space, in a deep level. And that's perhaps as we come into Shabbat and we light candles. That's the first mitzvah we do in lighting candles. Of course, candles should be lit on time. And we light the candles, ushering in the light of Shabbat. Candles, flames, are the opposite of darkness. Opposite of darkness. Darkness is when we stop seeing the other. Light means it becomes bright. We have clarity. We notice what's happening around us and we notice people. And perhaps when we light the Shabbat candles and we say a prayer, the women who light the Shabbat candles say a prayer for their family, for their children. Think about seeing others, being not in the dark, noticing others, noticing what they need. Noticing how they're feeling, noticing their emotions, and creating deep connections. So that's my thoughts for this week. That's my thoughts going into Shabbat. And I want to wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom.